Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here before you this morning on one of my favorite Sundays of the year. And this year is great because we get to do it twice. We usually just do it in the summer, but this year we're going to have Youth Sunday two times. So last weekend we had the amazing opportunity to go to Ross Point Retreat Center for our winter retreat. It was really great, wasn't it? Down here, front row, looking around. So usually we do a video to kind of recap what we did at retreat or camp. And today we are not going to do that. And here's why. At camp, we have a lot of crazy stuff we do, you know, treasure hunts, water time, relay races, food games, whatever it is. And there's a lot of stuff to video and to take pictures of. At retreat, it's a little more laid back. It's a little more relaxing. So we just didn't have enough material, if I'm honest with you. But it was still a great weekend, and I want to give you some of the highlights from the weekend. So last Friday, we embarked over to Ross Point. We had 21 students and 8 leaders. And in our roughly 44 hours at Ross Point, we heard 5 messages talking about the amazing grace of God, how to trust in God, where we stand with God, ingredients of hope, which I think some of you heard last weekend, and wrestling with God. We did about 2.5 hours of worship, including a midnight worship that was optional that the students could attend. We did 3 small group sessions. We had 2 sessions of quiet time. We did a Zumba dance party. We had an intense game of signs that Memphis was in the middle of the longest for. Just let the record show. We had a game, a huge game of Among Us. We also found out that the boys are better at dodgeball, even if they were outnumbered 2-1. We found out that Praise is the checkers queen. She's some kind of genius, apparently, at checkers. Hanky is still undefeated at ping pong after 4 years. And most importantly, God spoke to all 29 of us that were there. And I will even add a 30th for Pastor Jim. It was a great weekend. We had so much fun. And God did show up in a mighty way. Yes, thank you. It was great. It was, you know, winter retreat, we have only done a few of them. But it's amazing. It's great. It's great to have that second time to really just disconnect from the world, take the students over to Ross Point, and then pour into their lives. So what I'm going to do now, the moment that all of you dread, I'm going to open up the mic, and I'm going to give some of you the opportunity to share, and leaders, you can come up to what God spoke to you. And I know that it's uncomfortable. I know that you're scared. But it is very important that we share what the Lord has done in our lives, especially with the church body. So with that being said, I'm going to open up the mic to any of you youthers that would like to share. And I am going to say goodbye to Facebook at this time. So to our Facebook fam, sorry, you can listen to this part on the podcast, but we are not going to record this part for Facebook. So everyone say bye, Facebook. Okay, so any youthers? Who's gonna break the ice here, huh? We are missing a lot of you guys. All of you are like centered right here. Come on, youthers, come on. They're a little shy today, I guess. That's okay. Leaders, anyone? Okay, Bailey. Yes.
Okay. Well, I just want to say that I'm very thankful for anybody who, like, donated to our youth group and whoever gave, like, scholarships, because I know some students, like, we were praying for multiple students to be able to come, and I'm very thankful for you guys for doing that for us. And let's just start with my message. My message was where we stand with God. Standing with God, like, we needed to, like, know where we stand with him, because in our walk, yeah, we get sidetracked and we see the world, like, in its, like, ways. But, like, where we stand with him is going to further our faith in him. And I know that in my walk, sixth grade, like, I came in sixth grader, didn't know who I was, what I was, like, where I'm going to be standing with God. And just looking back, like, it's changed me so much. Like, the church, the youth group, it, like, changed me for who I am. And going into church camp, it was, like, I wanted to connect to God more and pray more. And I did that, and it makes me feel so good about myself. And Pastor Jim's message, the ingredients for hope, like, after his message, and we, like, started, like, doing, like, praise and worship, like, it felt, like Aaron said that, what was it, like, it felt like a funeral. Because, like, nobody was, like, energetic. Nobody was, like, praising God for what he's done for us. And it, like, felt different. And when Jim, like, went up there and, like, was, like, talking, and then Aaron said, it feels like a funeral. Like, everybody, like, changed. And, like, you can feel God's presence in the room because everybody's, like, spirits lifted, and it just felt so much better. So, yeah.
Like I said, camp doesn't, it just doesn't affect the students. It affects us too as leaders. I often tell leaders, especially young leaders, that camp, retreat, it's where we see the fruits of our year-long labor. Okay, we spend a year just pouring in, planting seeds, and sometimes as a youth leader it can feel like, am I really making a difference in their lives? And then at retreat and camp, we often see, okay, yes, God, you have me here for a purpose. And we see the fruits, we see the harvest that you are harvesting. So a little bit of backstory with what Bailey was talking about. On Saturday, after Jim spoke, we were in worship, and I was just kind of standing there looking around. And it just, you don't want to say feel, because it's not about feelings, right? But something just wasn't right. And I was going to say something, and then I was like, no, I'm not going to say it. It's kind of harsh what I want to say. And then I feel the presence of Pastor Jim in my ear. And he says, does God have you, does he want you to say something? And I said, maybe? And he said, well, then get up there and be obedient. And I said, yes, sir. So I went up there. And yeah, I just told the students straight up. I said, are we at a worship service tonight, or are we at a funeral? A worship service. Okay, well then why does it feel like a funeral in here? Why does it feel like we're like mourning or something? Like, we're here to honor God. We're here to praise the Most High King, the God of amazing grace, the God that saved us when we couldn't save ourselves. And I was joking with Jim after, because I think that God used me to set up what he wanted to do through Jim. I said, Jim, I think God just needed me to bust through the walls like the Kool-Aid man so that you can come in after and do what God had called you to say. And when Jim came up, and he could maybe share a little more, you know, he just encouraged the students. We turned the song on low, and he just encouraged them, you know, pray, seek God in this moment. And if he puts someone on your heart in this room, I just want you to go over to them and pray. And God showed up. He did. You know, there were students praying with other students. We were praying with students. It was an amazing time of worship and praise. And God, he showed up in a mighty way. He really did. It was awesome. And I know that there's students out here that were touched in that moment that could share their experience. And I would just encourage you to be bold now. Step out in faith and share what God had done and did do in you. And now I wait. I think I said this last time, but as a youth pastor, you get very good at awkward silence. And so, okay, here we go.
I just want to add to that, because that's something I was going to share, is not so much what I got from retreat, but what was amazing to witness, like Aaron was saying, the fruit of your labor. And when Jim, when he first did the call after Aaron busted through like the Kool-Aid man, he said, I have something on my heart, but I don't know if it's for now or for later. I might just tell Aaron, let him know. And he can decide if we want to do it. It might make you guys uncomfortable. And in that moment, in my flesh, like trying to be like the mama bird of protecting of the youth, I'm like, ooh, uncomfortable. They don't like to be uncomfortable. We probably shouldn't do it. But then Aaron, like, he just says, do it. And then Jim's like, okay, we're going to do it. And then I just kind of got convicted in that moment. I'm like, what am I doing? Like trying to protect them from being uncomfortable. Like even right now, like, you guys experienced uncomfortable and were blessed by it. Like, we were blessed by it, seeing you guys pray for each other. And I don't know. That's just something I wanted to add to that really quick. It's like, uncomfortable is where we grow. Like, uncomfortable is where we can experience God the most, because the world tries to make us as comfortable as possible. And so lean into the uncomfortable even right now, because that is where you will be blessed. Like, that is where you'll experience God, when you're out of your own zone, like when you're truly relying on him. And so I just wanted to add that, like, don't be afraid to be uncomfortable. Like, even I, like, was afraid for you guys to be uncomfortable, but we were all blessed by it. So amen.
Thank you. Okay. We got till about 11:15. Hey, Bella. Don't be looking back like you don't think I'm looking at you. Oh, my. I guess you guys are going to hear from all the leaders today. That's okay.
The fourth icebreaker. As we're on the topic of being uncomfortable, I come up here. Anyways, during Jim's message, he encouraged us, well, after the message, during worship, as we were talking about, he encouraged all the students to pray during the song. And right as he said that, I was like, oh no, I'm going to have to pray for somebody. And that's a good thing. I mean, praying for someone is a good thing, but for me, it stresses me out. So I prayed for my first student at this camp, and it was life-changing. So I just want to say that.
Nice. Adrian. I miss the days when I could just call on Josh Brown. Haley. Yes. Here we go.
So, okay. Okay, so after Jim spoke, after what everybody said, praying, I sat down because he said to just be still, be quiet, don't cry, Brooke. Anyway, I sat down and there's a song that I heard a few days before retreat, and I was just going to say, or like read you the first few lyrics, because it, like, this is, I just started saying it, and I was like, this is apparently what I needed to hear. And it says, find me here again in the place we met, where hopelessness meets grace. Quiet all the noise, every whispered lie, put to rest by perfect peace. I won't take a single step till I hear your voice. I surrender. And I just... I hate this. I can't. Just hearing those words and coming into camp, being so empty, and I felt so selfish for feeling like I needed to work on myself. And in small groups, I was encouraged that I don't need to feel selfish for that. But just saying those words, it just, I won't take a single step towards somebody else until I feel like I'm fulfilled myself. And I'm, yeah. I can't.
Thank you, Haley. Anyone else? Okay.
Well, I liked one of the nights where, I think it was last night, I don't really remember, but we were, we went up, and it was during worship. Jim just finished speaking, and he said that they should pray and think and think of someone that if they someone if they put someone on your heart or whatever to go and pray with, that they should go up and do that. And I thought that was really cool. And I prayed about pretty much how I felt at camp, I would feel for like the rest of my life, because it was an awesome feeling, and I thought that was pretty cool. So, yeah.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, one of the things we often encourage the students is that that feeling, or that, you know, feeling close to God, it doesn't have to end when we come home. In fact, we don't want it to end when we come home. We hope that camp or retreat is a stepping stone to a deeper faith, a deeper relationship with God. And I know I encouraged, I think the whole group, maybe it was just the boys in one of our small groups, but I encouraged them, if you felt like God move on your heart at camp, if you had a prayer answered, if he told you to do something, if you felt his presence, then write that in a journal, write that somewhere. That way when you get home and you feel like, wait a minute, is this real? Or did I experience God? You can go back to that and read it and say, oh yeah, you know what? On February 13th, 2021, I experienced God in that little tiny room downstairs at Ross Point Retreat Center. And he showed up, he moved, and I have no doubts that he is real. I have no doubts that I experienced him. So that's what I encourage them, and I would still encourage you to do that. What happened at camp doesn't have to end. It doesn't. Our relationship with God is to grow deeper and deeper every single day. It's not supposed to be something that you just experience in February for a weekend and experience in August for a weekend. It's supposed to be a part of our everyday life. And it is in our everyday life that God meets us and wants to be with us. Amen. Would anyone else like to share? Whoa, this might be a first. A parent of a youther. Yes.
So I know that my daughter's really shy and she won't come up here, so I'm going to be her voice because the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And she wasn't going to go to camp. She wasn't going to go to camp. She was not going to go to camp. And Brooke and Aaron, up until the very last second, said, "Bella, until 5 p.m. on Friday, you can change your mind. You can come." And so about Wednesday afternoon, Bella texted me and said, "Mom, I want to go to camp, and Olivia's going to go to camp with me." And so they went to camp, and I'm just so blessed that Brooke and Aaron kept their arms open wide for the girls, for the kids who are shy and going through all different things in their life right now with the craziness of COVID and social distancing and being home alone all day long, sometimes doing school by yourself. It gets lonely and you withdraw into yourself more than you normally would. So I know that these girls were touched and they had a wonderful time, even if they can't say it. I know they were, and I'm so thankful for Brooke and Aaron.
Yes, that was an answer to prayer over there. We prayed, Brooke and I prayed all week that they would change their mind, that God would speak to them, and he did. And they came, and I know that they were, that God spoke to them at camp and retreat. Anyone else? Gavin? Mason? Yeah, you guys got any nuggets? Any chips in Memphis's case? Memphis, Keegan put a challenge out on the last day that during the message, everyone just bring back a nugget of something that they got from the message. It's a symbol of like a gold nugget, right? Memphis says, "Why can't it be chips? Why has it got to be nuggets?" So Memphis can bring his chips. The rest of us will bring nuggets. Any nuggets down there? Any chips? Okay. Well, I guess what we will do is I'll have Maddie come up here. I'll have Brooke come up here. And Bailey, you kind of already shared your message, so you can stay down. And I guess you guys heard Jim's message last week. No, get up here. Come on. He's shy. That's right. So us four and Bailey spoke at retreat. I'm very thankful for Jim, who filled in last minute. I came to him on Wednesday before retreat and said, "So what are you doing Saturday about 7 p.m? He's like, why? But he was thrilled to do it, and God used him. So we'll just go through really quick what our messages were about so that you get a little taste. I spoke on Friday night. I was the kickoff, and I spoke about God's amazing grace. Really just a gospel message that we are saved by grace alone through faith, that we can't work for it. Nothing we do can earn us grace. Nothing we do can earn us favor with God. We are saved by Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. And to me, that's freeing. To some people, that might not be freeing, but to me, that's freeing. Because I just know that, yeah, you know what? I am not worthy. And that may sound weird to say that's freeing, but I'm not worthy. But because of Jesus, I am made righteous. And that's what I spoke about. And I gave some examples about people who, throughout history, the grace of God changed them and then changed the course of history. And one person I spoke about was Martin Luther, who, when he discovered Romans 1:17, that we are saved by faith from first to last, and that from that faith is the righteousness of God, that literally changed the whole world. You know, we wouldn't be sitting in here today without Martin Luther, and I believe that fully because of what God did through him and him rediscovering the grace of God. So that's what I spoke about. And then after my message, I did the I guess you'd call it an altar call. And I had every student bow their heads and, you know, close their eyes. And I asked, you know, do you want to, if you've never heard the story of grace of the gospel and you want to have a relationship with God, you know, raise your hand. And then if you have heard it, but maybe you've walked away and you want to recommit, raise your hand. And we had about 15 students raise their hands, which is awesome. And I didn't stop there. I just felt like God say to me, now call them all up front. Because, you know, oftentimes we just close our eyes and it's kind of a personal thing. And it should be that. We should make that choice. But then I wanted all of them to see that they were not alone, that they were not the only ones that said, yeah, I want the grace of God. And that we, and I just encourage them, we are to walk this life together in the grace of God together. And that was my message.
And then my message was wrestle with God well. And it was based on in Genesis when Jacob wrestled with God. And so the points that I wanted to put across for those students is I feel like at all times in our life, we're either wrestling with God or we're wrestling against God. And so it was kind of a call to reflection on where they're, like Bailey's message, where are you standing? It was just so cool to see how it picked up from Jim's message when he was talking about God's word and how true it is. And he was defending the word and talking about the importance it has in our life. So I started with mine. I let them know that, like, when I have read this story before in Genesis, I've kind of struggled with it because it just seems crazy that someone wrestled with God physically. But I've always read through it and then just moved on. And so this year when I was reading through it, I wrestled through the story with God, and I was able to glean so much truth from it. And that's how my message developed. And I put it into three different parts: why we wrestle with God, when we wrestle with God, and after we wrestle with God. And so my points all related back to the story and with Jacob and what God had revealed to me when I was wrestling with that story. And so with the why we wrestle with God, I had, so he will become the God of our hearts. We wrestle with God because it's countercultural. And then what God just showed me this morning, talking about being uncomfortable, like, again, that goes back to wrestling with God. It's uncomfortable, but step into that uncomfortable, wrestle through it. It's countercultural. The culture wants us to just be comfortable. The third point was to realign our hearts with God's heart. The fourth point was to give God the opportunity to beat the crap out of our fleshly desires. And then the when we wrestle, we are often alone. We are not alone. We are with God. And, like, even I think about when Jim called us to pray to God, stand in the stillness. We're surrounded by people, but we allow ourselves to be alone and just focus on God, to take out the distractions, just like Jacob was alone when he wrestled with God. The second point, when we wrestle with God, we are invited to come out of hiding. And then the last section I had is after we wrestle, we are blessed, we are changed, and we are humbled. And again, like I said, all of these things were examples that God revealed to me when I chose to wrestle through this story instead of just pass over it like I had done in the past. My prayer for the students and for us as a body and believers is that we do wrestle with God. We allow the things that we're struggling with, whether it's something in the word, something in our life, that we allow it to be our stepping stone into greater intimacy and relationship with the Lord than a stumbling block, and keep us from resisting that growth and resisting what God has for us. Because like I said, after we wrestle, we are blessed. Like, we are changed and we are humbled. There is good on the other side of wrestling. And so that's what my message was specifically.
Right. I shared the story of Daniel in the lion's den. I talked about how Daniel's trust in God led him to hope and joy and peace. There were men that came to the king and told the king that they should make a law that nobody should worship any other gods or humans except for the king. And so the king made the law, and then the men found Daniel praying to God, and So the king had to send Daniel to the lion's den. And because Daniel trusted in God, that's what saved him. He prayed to God, and he was able to make it out from the lions. And I kind of compared that to any season that we're in. No matter the season, as long as we're trusting in God, we can always have hope and joy and peace.
I did share one thing with the kids, and I don't know if they remember it, but it was when I was coming back up after Kool-Aid Man busted down the doors. But one of the things that I truly love to do as a pastor is tick off the devil. And I didn't say tick, but I do today. But when we tell or testify or share what God has done in our own lives, the devil's not happy. What was going on up there at retreat, the devil wasn't happy because there were walls being broken down. There was faith being built up. There was encouragement. There was people stepping out of their comfort zones. And that's where God does his best work. Because if we stay in our comfort zone, we handle it. I got this, God. I can handle this just on my own talents, my own whatever it is. But when we step out where we know God wants us to go, but we really don't want to go, the Bible says that in my weakness, he is strong. Oftentimes in the Old Testament, he told prophets or judges or kings, I want you to go into battle, but here's the stipulation. I want you to cut down your men from 30,000 down to 300. That makes no sense. I would want as many warriors as I could possibly have because my odds are better to win the war. God says, no, I'm going to win this war. And I'm going to make you uncomfortable while I do it. And that's when God can show up. When we step out and we get uncomfortable, but we do what God has called us to do. I think a lot of young people and some of the leaders grew this last weekend. And when you grow, you're uncomfortable. I know Mason is going through a growth spurt. Like for some reason, he was like a foot shorter last week. I remember when I went through my growth spurts, and it was just a few years ago, my body hurt. My body seriously was always aching, and I couldn't walk and chew gum at the same time. I walked into doorways. But that's the growth part of it. And it's the same with our faith. It's not going to be comfortable when you grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he is going to take you to the next level. You can't go to the next level. He will not bring you to the next level until you've done what he wants you to do on this level. And I've had people come to me and go, I want to be on this level. Well, have you been faithful here? Well, no, I want to be here. And I'm just like, God's not going to take you there until you learn how to where your faith is right here and be faithful in that. You ain't going to the next level. So I would encourage you, young people, to tick off the devil a little bit more. And that is sharing out loud what God has done. There's something solidifying about speaking what God has done. There's something about it that there's power in that. And if you hold on to that and it's like, well, I'm so uncomfortable. Then you're going to remain right there in your faith. So my encouragement to you is if God has been touching on your hearts to share and it's like, I really don't want to. You know what? Tick off the devil. Tick him off. Make him squirm. Because Lord knows he's made us squirm plenty in our lives. If I can pay back some of that to him, I love to do that. So there you go.
You are released from service. See why I bring this guy up here? He didn't want to come up here. So, last call. Would anyone else like to share about retreat? What's up, Mason? Yes!
Okay, so this is kind of short, but one thing I noticed was that with both camps that I've been to, all of the messages have been, like, connected in a way, which is really, like, I don't know the word, but it's kind of amazing to see that they said they don't even, you don't plan them to be like that, but they say every year it turns out like that, which is cool to see.
Thanks, Mason. Yes. I had no idea what Jim was going to say until he got there. We don't coordinate like, okay, Bailey, you're going to speak on this. Brooke, you speak here. Maddie, you speak here. I'll speak this. Jim, you got this. We don't do that. We did have a verse this year, Romans 15:13. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That was our overall verse. And I just told the leaders that were speaking, this is our verse. Feel free to do something with this verse. But if God leads you in another direction, I'm open to that. I just want what God wants to be said to be said. So, yeah, thank you, Mason. That's a great point. We do not coordinate what we're going to say. So, anyone else? Any other leaders? Oh, I see the hat coming on. Yeah, there we go. The slow walk up, yes.
Y'all just had to do it, didn't you?
Yep. Well, first of all, it was biased opinion, but we have one of the best groups that was at the camp. And it was a proven point when Tim, the guy who runs the show up there, he comes up to Aaron and he's like, dude, this group has just been amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, sorry, y'all are looking at me. It's making me nervous. I've been blatantly disobedient to God a few months prior to retreat, blatantly not listening to his word, to his voice. Thank you. Knowing, like, I mean, just little things, driving in the car, thinking, oh, man, when was the last time I prayed? When was the last time I talked to God? And just, nah, maybe next time. Kind of like how Hannah feels when Abby doesn't text her for a while and she's like, why isn't she texting me back? That's probably what he's looking at me saying. I'm patient, dude. But a few weeks prior to camp, Brooke has this message about we need to pray to God. It's our way to connect with him. And I was like, all right, fine. So I started praying a little bit more, and I told God, obviously there's something you need to say to me. So come retreat. Help me reach out to these kids. Help us leaders do your work, including myself, and work in me. We get to retreat, and all these little things are just lining up. Now that you guys know what all the leaders, they spoke about, his amazing grace. And Brooke, something about your messages, they always just get me right in the heart. When she's speaking about God wrestling with you, or you wrestling with God, that's what I've been doing. That's what I've been doing the past, who knows how long, just in the routine. And then I get to retreat. And that last night, I was doing media for Jim and Aaron. And I was kind of trying to multitask, sing and do the songs, but I'm a 23-year-old male and we don't multitask that well. So Hannah must knew that. And she comes up to me and she says, you know, I feel like you really need to be out there. I was like, sure thing, lady, go ahead. And so she took the reins from me, and I'm sitting out there with, the room's just heavy, and it's warm, kids are crying, youthers are praying, leaders are praying, and it's just heavy in the room. You can just tell God's working. Well, I just stood there, just, man, who do I pray for? And I'm looking around the room, kids, I don't make any moves. I just sit there and I sing the words or I listen to the songs. Afterwards, Hannah comes up to me. She's like, I know there's somebody you needed to pray for, but you didn't make a move. And I still, just know that I know that you didn't do anything, but I know that's still on your heart. So just FYI. And I was like, whatever, lady. And the funnier part was later Saturday night, Aaron decided, yeah, we're going to do midnight worship. And it's what the funny part is he told me he was thinking about it, and then he said that Bailey was thought about it, and then Hannah thought the same thing, and they brought it to Aaron's attention. He's like, oh yeah, I guess we should do some midnight worship. And come midnight worship, he puts on a playlist and he just says, you know, just listen to the words and just be here. And as the song started to play, it hit me like a brick. And I got down on a knee in the front and just poured out to God, and I found my faith again. Afterwards, we get back from retreat. It's Valentine's Day, so Hannah and I are hanging out. And I look at her and I tell her, you know, you weren't wrong. She said, what do you mean? I told her there was somebody that was on my heart, and that was me. I needed to reach out and pray for myself. So like Bailey says, it's not just for the youthers. It's definitely for us leaders. And your youthers, your kids, are definitely a blessing to us. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Brooke and Aaron.
Amen. That's amazing. It's amazing. Amazing testimony. And thank you for sharing that. Thank you. Okay, I think I'll do one last call. This is the final call. Would anyone like to share? Okay. I'll have the music ministry team come up, and I do just want to say a big thank you to all of you that support, pray, love on this youth group. We really couldn't do it without you guys. I want to say a big thank you to all the leaders that came. You make my life easy, and I really mean that. It's just a blessing to have a solid leadership group. And then obviously thank you to all the youthers. As Colton said, you guys are a great group. You guys are amazing. And he wasn't lying. Tim from Ross Point came up to me as we were getting ready to go, and he said, you know, we just love hosting you guys. you guys are an amazing group. And I said, wow, that's a blessing for you to say that. I really appreciate that. He said, yeah, but I'm not just saying that. He said, we get some groups in here that are kind of crazy. I said, yeah, well, we're a small group, so we can't get that crazy. He said, no, listen to me. We get some groups in here that are your size, that are crazy, that are a pain. But you guys are an amazing group. Your kids are amazing. You always leave everything as you found it. They clean up good after themselves. They're always very respectful to the staff. And that's just testament to you guys. You know, it's amazing. And that is a testimony in and of itself. That is a outworking of God in and of itself. So be encouraged. And now, as I say every year, don't let the fire die out here. Don't let this be the last time you talk to God until August or July. Keep it going. Keep that faith going. And always remember that you are saved by amazing grace. You are saved by the grace of God. When I say to keep it going, I'm not telling you to work. That work can earn your salvation. No, it can't. Your salvation comes from God alone. But now that you've experienced and tasted the amazing grace of God, live in it. Live in that grace. And we will see you guys on Wednesday. We love each and every one of you. And we hope that retreat was impactful for you. And we know that it was. We know that God showed up. We know that he worked. So we love you guys. And we'll see you on Wednesday. Okay? Please stand. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are a mighty and awesome God. And Lord, we thank you so much for what you did in the lives of these students at retreat, God. We thank you that you showed up, that you touched them, that you spoke to them, God, and that they can look back on that day, on that time, and know that you are real. They can look back on that time and know that they can live in amazing grace, that they can trust in you, God, that they can know where they stand with you. They can know that they have the ingredients of hope as it is laid out in your word, and they can know, God, that they live in the grace even if they are wrestling with you, Lord. Lord, we pray, God, that you would show up in a mighty way, not only in their lives going forward, but every day, Lord. We thank you so much. Lord, we pray for this New Hope body. We pray that you can help all of us live a life worthy of the gospel, worthy of the calling that we have been called to. And Lord, we just thank you for all of your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You are dismissed.